Readers, I'm thrilled to welcome Jeffrey Deaver back to the program. A former journalist, folk singer, and attorney, Jeffrey's novels have appeared on bestseller lists around the world. Jeffrey's written 30 novels, 3 collections of short stories, and a nonfiction law book. He's received or been shortlisted for a number of international awards. His The Bodies Left Behind was named Novel of the Year by the International Thriller Writers Association, as was his Lincoln Rhyme thriller, The Broken Window, and his standalone novel, Edge. Some of his titles have been made into films for TV and the big screen. Jeffrey was born outside Chicago and has a Bachelor of Journalism degree from the University of Missouri and a law degree from Fordham. Today, we'll speak with him about his new Catherine Dance thriller, Solitude Creek. Welcome, Jeff. It's great to have you back with us on the Book Report.
Well, thank you, Elaine. Good to talk to you, as always.
Catherine Dance is a great character. I love her. For listeners who've not yet met her, will you introduce her?
Sure. I decided I wanted to create a new character, somebody who was more people-oriented when it came to policing. So I created a woman named Catherine Dance, who is an investigator with the California Bureau of Investigation, and she is a cop like any other cop, investigates serious crimes, but her specialty is kinesics, or body language. And she'll sit down across from the suspect and kind of observe what they are, how they're sitting, how they scratch their forehead, words they say that may not have anything to do with content, things like, nice day, don't you think? Well, don't you think? What, does that mean something or not? Well, anyway, she studies all of this, these other aspects about their communication, other than the words they actually say, and concludes whether they're telling the truth or not when they are talking about where they were at the time of the crime. And she's just become a very popular character. She's a widow, a single mother juggling two teenagers, or almost to be teenagers, and who get her into almost more trouble than the crimes do. So that's basically Catherine in a nutshell.
Right. And are there truly such experts in police forces today?
Oh, yes. Almost all investigators, that would be the detectives more than the street police, the beat cop police, for instance, all detectives study this, and I've studied some of it myself. I'm hardly an expert at it, but although it's funny, most of my friends who have read the Catherine Dance books, when we go out to dinner, they're kind of careful about how they cross their legs or cross their arms because they think I might be drawing conclusions about them.
Early on in this book, Catherine misreads a suspect. When he escapes and perpetrates another crime, Catherine's taken off the case. You infer that such a severe disciplinary action might not have been handed down to a male officer. Do you believe that there is this kind of sexism in the police departments around the country?
Oh, yes. I wish I could say no, but I've done a lot of research in the field. I've been writing cop books for many years. Some of the best detectives, best investigators are women. Some of the best street police officers are women. But nonetheless, it used to be a good old boys business, and women have had to fight their way up through it. And that's it's changing, but it's changing slowly. And some departments are more enlightened than others, and that's true, I guess, about every business.
Mm-hmm. The villain in Solitude Creek sets up situations which causes crowds of people to become hysterical and stampede, resulting in terrifying death and destruction. Did you base these episodes on actual occurrences?
Well, the answer to that is yes, and in one case, a personal incident, and I'll explain how the whole book came about. About 30 years ago, I was living in Manhattan in Greenwich Village, and Greenwich Village has every year a fantastic Halloween parade. Thousands of people come to watch it. Well, the village is a very old part of New York City, and the streets and sidewalks are fairly narrow. I remember I was trying to get across the street to meet my girlfriend as the parade was going on, but the crowds were so thick, I couldn't move. And not only could I not get across the street, I could not move from the 1 square foot area where I was standing, feeling very uncomfortable, just literally shoulder to shoulder and back to chest. It was so jammed up. And then there was a noise of I think it was probably just a backfire of a truck or car, but it might have been a gunshot, but nowhere near us. Nonetheless, the crowd just went crazy, and they started to move, and you couldn't stop them. I didn't have the strength to push myself away. I was completely out of control. My feet were not on the ground. I was kind of wedged a few inches off the sidewalk, and I thought if I fall, or somebody else falls, well, there's going to be death or injury here. And I put that in the back of my mind and thought, well, I'm going to write a book about this someday. And that's what became Solitude Creek. Now, in answer to your question specifically, I did a lot of research into stampedes, and there have unfortunately been a fair number of them. And usually they're at a venue where people are having a good time, well, maybe a sporting event. It happens a lot, or not with great frequency, but more frequency than one would hope.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Deaver on the Book Report. You know, video games figure into Solitude Creek. Do you believe the violent nature of some of today's popular games encourages violence in real life?
I've done a bit of research on this for the book, Elaine, and there are two schools of thought. One is that young people, kids, go through a period of role-playing that would involve some violent games. I certainly played Cowboys and Indians when I was growing up and played soldier. My father was in World War II, and we would, get our toy guns and go play World War II. I think there is the other side of the coin, though, that when you have someone who, a young male, as opposed to the girls, approaching adolescence, and that person has a tendency toward aggression or bullying, they don't have the filters in place necessarily to say, oh, this is clearly just a game, and real life is very different. And I think they can step over that line into violence. So the answer to that, just make sure parents are very aware of the games, talk to the kids. Some of these are incredibly violent and serve no purpose other than to kill and maim. There's no intellectual puzzles involved. You don't learn things, except maybe what kind of machine gun is better than another one. So parents just have to be vigilant.
I agree. You know, you dedicated Solitude Creek to libraries and librarians everywhere. How would you rate the state of U.S. libraries today?
I think it's very good, actually. We, of course, are aware that bookstores themselves are going by the wayside to a large extent. I'm happy to observe that independent bookshops seem to be making a bit of a comeback, but the more popular book chains are struggling. Of course, we lost Borders, the big one, a few years ago. Libraries, and I speak from experience as I've traveled around the country doing events at libraries, seem to be thriving. They're expanding. The facilities are quite beautiful. Many, many people are coming in to read books and check out books. There is, in almost all libraries in America now, a mechanism to borrow an e-book, which was one of the big questions. How are libraries going to compete with that? But now you can go if you have an e-reader, which is, I have no objection to e-books at all. I read books on my iPad. You can download it temporarily and then sort of return it. I think it basically just dissolves. You don't have to physically go back and return it. But it's a phenomenon that I've been very, very pleased to see.
Hmm. Will you write another novel where Catherine intersects with Lincoln Rhymes?
I think I will, in fact, because the polar opposites of these two characters are great fun to work with. Lincoln, the forensic scientist, Catherine, the people cop or the psychological cop, they have a grudging respect for each other's talent, even though Catherine doesn't really care for forensics, and Lincoln doesn't care for this psychological profiling and interrogation. But they realize that they can't solve the crime without the other's skill as well. So I'm going to get, I'll probably get her back to New York at some point and get her into a bit of trouble there.
What are you working on now?
Coincidentally, a new book about Lincoln Rhyme and a new book about Catherine, although they are not in these two, they are not appearing together. The Lincoln will be out next year, the Catherine the year after that.
With Solitude Creek, any final thoughts?
Well, Solitude Creek is going to be the launching pad for my next Catherine book, and that's going to deal with a political issue that is on the minds of everyone nowadays. And since I'm a suspense writer, I'm just going to have to let it go at that.
Well, I'm putting my money on elections, maybe. So, anyway, Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us today. I enjoyed this book. It was a real page-turner.
Well, thank you, Elaine. Good talk to you, as always.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye now.